And so the body's very smart. It starts to lose its estrogen from the ovaries because the ovaries are aging and they're finished doing their job. And it says, where can I get more estrogen? Because I need this stuff. This stuff is really important for me. And so it goes, okay, I'm going to create a layer of fat that is primarily going to be around the stomach, but not necessarily just the stomach. It might be like around your arms, maybe around your bum, but primarily around your stomach. And this is not the same fat that you'll find in different places in your body. This fat is active fat. What does that mean? It means that it releases estrogen into your system. And so that is the type of fat in that stomach that a lot of women speak about that they're getting in their 40s and late 40s and 50s. That's really hard to get rid of, that a lot of women have. This is where the body's bringing estrogen from to protect you.
Welcome to Functional Medicine Coaching Moms Podcast, where simplifying healthy lifestyle change for moms is the only goal.
We are so excited to have Corinne Ryder, functional medicine nutritionist, meditation, breathwork teacher, fitness trainer, author, wife, and a mother of an 11-year-old boy and a 14-year-old daughter.
This episode is for you if you struggle with weight loss. And I have to say for myself, I've noticed a difference in my difficulty in maintaining my weight as I've gotten to the second half of my 40s. I feel like what I used to do to manage my weight in my 30s is not really working anymore. So I'm extremely excited to speak with you today.
Corinne has been a leader in the nutrition and wellness industry for the past 15 years. She founded Nutritious and Delicious in 2011. Her aim is to touch as many people as possible, helping them build healthier lifestyles.
Corinne has led workshops and nutrition programs in Singapore, Hong Kong, Israel, and Australia. She has written for numerous publications and is also the author of two children's recipe books called The Rosy-Cheeked Kids.
Corinne, thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, weight loss for women 40 and over can be super frustrating. And as moms, we hear a lot of different advice as what to do. We're excited to hear your take on it as a functional medicine nutritionist. So what's going on here? Why does it seem like weight loss becomes so very difficult after 40?
Well, thank you, Raquel and Kristen. I'm very honored to be here and to speak with your listeners. What happened in our 40s, it actually starts happening from mid-30s, is our hormones change. We start a slow but steady decline in some of our sex hormones. The first one is progesterone, which from approximately age 35 starts to decline. And that leaves us with a 10 to 15 year period where we have lower levels of progesterone and fluctuating levels of estrogen, which means that some months you might have a lot of estrogen, some months you might not have a lot of estrogen, and that affects our body greatly until we kind of eventually get into our menopausal years. Other things that are happening in our 40s is that we are moms, right? And we're, a lot of us are also holding careers and we're working. There's the stress part of our lives is very, very high. Very often we're also caretakers to our parents, not only our children, right? So it's a period in a woman's life that is quite a difficult period. It's often a period that we don't have time to take care of ourselves. We don't prioritize ourselves. We have very little left in our bucket for ourselves. And it shows up in our bodies. And last but not least, there's the physiological part. They're changing, they're evolving, they're aging. And that's perfectly normal and to be expected. The part about the weight loss is complex because, as you probably know, there's a lot of information on nutrition and diets out there. There's a lot of big camps that are very, very devoted to their camps. There's, you know, the vegans, and now there's the carnivores, and there's the intermittent fasting people. And these people will die for their camp, right? They're very gung-ho on their camp. And, you know, in the nutrition world, it's very confusing. We don't really know what's the right diet for each and every one of us. I hope maybe in 10 years' time, people will be able to come to see me or any other nutritionist or any other functional medicine doctor, and we'll be able to do a very simple skin prick test, and we'll be able to come up with, you know, your DNA, your nutritional deficiencies, food sensitivities, and we'll be able to say, okay, this type of eating is what you need to be doing. This is the type of supplements you need to be taking, and it will be very personalized. But at the moment, searching for a diet and a way of eating that fits you is kind of like looking for a diamond in the middle of the beach in, you know, under all the sands. It's going to be really hard to find a diet. And it's a lot of figuring it out for yourself and learning to see what works for your body and what doesn't work for your body. You know, that being said, there are a couple of major things that most people can do to help them achieve, I wouldn't say weight loss, but at least a body that is healthy and fit. And that's what I think the mind should be with for women. I know that weight loss is what sells and everyone wants weight loss and weight loss and weight loss. But I always try and say to people, it's the mind shift. It shouldn't be, I need to be skinny. I need to be strong because I'm heading into my menopausal years. Yes. I want to prevent osteoporosis. I want to prevent dementia and brain fog and brain decline. I want to prevent heart disease. I want to prevent cancer because those big four are coming for me. And my lifestyle, my body, my nutrition, that's what's going to be the push or take if I'm going to develop chronic disease. And so the shift, it needs to be a shift. We were speaking a bit before about like social media and how it messes our brains up because it creates this really bad realistic expectation of looking a certain way. And many women strive for this very skinny look that is not healthy. So when you're seeing a woman that's ripped, she's got that six pack, she's super, she looks amazing and she fits in a size 2, and she's probably very unhealthy in the sense that her body is probably starving and she's probably got nutritional deficiencies, hormonal imbalances, mood issues. She's not a healthy woman. A woman in her 40s needs some fat. We can talk about it a little bit later, the job of the fat that our body actually very smartly packs on. But the idea is that we need to be strong and fit versus skinny and weak. Does that make sense?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You're speaking my language I am a certified personal trainer, older adult and senior fitness specialist. And that is exactly the deal. It's not about being skinny. It's about being fit and strong and functional. How are you able to function? Which actually brings me to this next question. How is the functional medicine approach to weight loss different?
When we look at someone that has like resistant weight loss, so when I'm working with a client and we're cleaning up their diet, I'm making sure that him or her are doing, you know, the main bullet points that I speak about with regards to like a healthy diet. And I see resistant weight loss. I know that a lot of the time it's related to inflammation in the body. So when you have a lot of inflammation in the body, when your detox pathways are not working properly, when your body doesn't have the right metabolic fuel or is not smart enough metabolically, meaning it doesn't know how to kind of bounce around between glucose and ketones, then I know that I can use functional medicine to help out. And, you know, it sounds like very medical and big, but it really boils down to small things. It's, you know, are my detox pathways working well? That's a very big question that I ask at the beginning if someone seems to be inflamed. And that those are things like being properly hydrated, sweating well, pooping every day. You know, you would be amazed at the amount of, you know, women that have issues with constipation, you know, just even being educated about it.
We did a whole episode on constipation. Yeah, it's so common.
We did. Yeah.
We all love speaking about poop, right? Making sure that the lymphatic system is working well. Other things that, you know, be part of the inflammation picture is when someone has food sensitivities, low-grade food sensitivities could cause inflammation in the body. We might not be allergic to a food in the sense that we don't have like an allergic reaction, but we might be having low-grade chronic inflammation as a result of eating an everyday food, something like dairy products for some people or gluten for other people or even eggs for certain people. So we might not be aware of that. That could be creating inflammation in the body. We could have high levels of heavy metals like mercury. If you've got fillings from our generation, a lot of us had mercury fillings, right? So mercury fillings or just having a lot of exposure to mercury or even having a lot of exposure to chemicals through our cosmetics, hair products and skincare and stuff like that, which is huge these days. So these are just examples of things that can create inflammation in your body. And until we don't really deal with them, you're not really going to see the weight loss. A lot of the time, the weight loss happens as a symptom of when we try and deal with chronic issues. And some of the issues can even be things like autoimmunity, like Hashimoto's, where your thyroid isn't working properly. And we know that your thyroid is your releases metabolic hormones, hormones that are in charge of your metabolism. So when I start off with someone, we do a very kind of simple food first approach, lifestyle approach, and 80, 90% of the people they do well. But for those 10% of the people that don't do well on that, that's where functional medicine comes in. And I try and look for the root cause of what's going on in their body. Mm. And that's where we start to kind of add in things.
So I would imagine that the other group also has root causes too, like that other group, that 10%. But then it's interesting to me that that other percentage that don't have that, then their root causes, like that must be like looking for that diamond in the sand.
Everybody has issues, you know, nobody's walking around with no issues. You know, for some people, it might be joint pain, yes, especially for women, right? Especially as we start to lose our estrogen, we start to have issues with pain in our body. It could be frozen shoulder. It could be all kinds of weird joint pain things that are happening, but you know, it could be joint mood issues. I mean, anxiety and depression, one of the most common thing that we see day in, day out in our clinic, could be bloating. A lot of people will have bloating. So these, a lot of these things I try and address when I work on like people's general health, you know. So even like, for example, in my 21-day program, every single day I touch on one topic that's, I kind of call it like the pillars of your health, that they're pretty easy topics to access. Like you're either sleeping well or you're not sleeping well. If you're not sleeping well, what could you do to support yourself? What are the things that you should look out for? If you're bloating, let's speak about why you're bloating. Is it because you're not chewing your food properly and you're like gulping it in, or you're too stressed, or you don't have enough digestive juices to break down your food? So I try and address these main issues that a lot of us are seeing and educate people, because I think one of the things that we're missing, a lot of us, is this piece of education. We're just not being educated about our body, and our body sends us signs every single day, right? It might be a headache. It might be like, oh, I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or I have a rash. This is a sign from our body, and it's telling us something. And when we listen to these signs, we address them and we can continue to flourish. But when we start ignoring them or finding or saying, oh, everybody has headaches, or everybody feels tired, and we start normalizing these things, that's when we're starting to run into problems.
Right.
So there is a group of people, I don't know to tell you an exact percentage, but in my clinic, there is a group of people that even if we address a lot of these things, there are like deeper root causes that we need to go deeper into. And these could be, you know, really chronic issues and SIBO and Lyme disease, and even breast implant illness is something that we work on in the clinic. And when we dive deeper, then we can start working on those things. But a lot, and the big majority of the people, and probably a big majority of your listeners as well, benefit from just the basic stuff that everybody should be doing.
Yeah, it's so true that no one, you know, we're not really educated very much about our bodies, and especially as a woman with your hormones changing. And you did mention a little bit earlier about the fat, like the putting on of the weight is part of it. If you could explain a little bit about that, it really piqued my interest.
Vogue did a piece on it and they called it meno belly, okay, from the word menopause. So it's a thing now, meno belly. So what happens is,
I'll have to write that down.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's in vogue. There has been this big, I feel, maybe on people that I follow, right? There's this big, been this big wave now of women starting to speak about going through perimenopause and menopause. Even Naomi Watts did a, she's very big in this area, and she speaks about going through early menopause, which is a very, very common thing, much more common than we know. So a lot of women in their 40s are actually menopausing. They're not menopausing in their 50s and their 55s and onwards. They're menopausing pretty early, and they're going through these symptoms alone. And very often they're seeing these male doctors who are saying, oh, you need an antidepressant and an antipsychotic and some anti-anxiety medication, and you're just going crazy. Whereas they're not, they're losing their hormones. And so estrogen is our female hormone. It is one of the most important hormones for women. There are receptors for estrogen all over our body, our brains, our joints, our heart, our bones. And when we start to lose estrogen, we start to feel the effects of it. And actually losing estrogen is one of the biggest risk factors for women. We know that as soon as we lose estrogen, we're at big risk of having heart disease. And even cancer rates are much higher once you lose your estrogen. And so the body's very smart. It starts to lose its estrogen from the ovaries, because the ovaries are aging and they're finished doing their job. And it says, where can I get more estrogen? Because I need this stuff. This stuff is really important for me. And so it goes, okay, I'm going to create a layer of fat that is primarily going to be around the stomach, but not necessarily just the stomach. It might be like around your arms, maybe around your bum, but primarily around your stomach. And this is not the same fat that you'll find in different places in your body. This fat is active fat. What does that mean? It means that it releases estrogen into your system. And so that is the type of fat in that stomach that a lot of women speak about that they're getting in their 40s and late 40s and 50s. That's really hard to get rid of, that a lot of women have. This is where the body's bringing estrogen from to protect you. So it's a normal phenomenon.
Wow.
Wanted, but it's normal.
Yes. Okay. That is interesting. I definitely learned something new on that one. I haven't heard that, but it definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, you kind of just answered my next question, which was really, why does it get so difficult to lose the weight? You kind of just answered it. But are there other things, I guess, that are going on that it's making it harder?
Well, again, I think the loss of muscle mass makes a big difference for a lot of women. And this is probably, it's kind of the chicken and the egg story, because when you have a high muscle mass, when you've got a lot of muscle on you, you are metabolically fit, meaning you're burning a lot of calories throughout the day to feed that muscle mass. And as you age, you lose muscle mass. Now, if you are not eating adequate protein, which is probably one of the biggest issues that women have, and you're not lifting or using resistance training with, you know, where you're kind of building your strength and you're adding on the weights to get stronger and stronger, meaning if you're not building that muscle mass and feeding that muscle mass, you're losing that muscle mass. You need to work really hard for muscle mass. I don't get it how women are so scared of lifting weights because they think they're going to look bulky. I mean, it's virtually impossible to get bulky by lifting. You've got to be like genetically really gifted.
Yeah.
I lift weights like crazy and I don't look nearly nothing like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Madonna or anyone. I'm like, shit, I want to look like that. So I think that's the biggest piece of the puzzle. It's this muscle mass that we lose. And when you don't have muscle mass, then you just become much less efficient at going through carbohydrates and making sure that, you know, you're being able to metabolize them. And then it's very easy to gain fat. It's very, very easy. And it's harder to lose weight. And it's even harder to gain that muscle mass. It's like this, you got to work really hard. And that's why I think the education piece is very important. I think we need to educate women that, hey, in your 30s, this is your biggest chance. You build that muscle mass in the 30s. You learn how to eat proper protein amount. When you get into your 40s, you're going to come in much stronger. And then when you get into your 50s, you're going to be even stronger.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. What are your thoughts on fasting? It seems like all the rage, and yet many people still struggle with their weight loss efforts in the whole in fasting.
So there was a study done on three different diets recently. Intermittent fasting was one of them. The second diet that was studied was the low carbohydrate diet. So similar to like a ketogenic type diet where you don't eat a lot of carbs. And the third diet that was studied was a high protein diet. And they were looking at weight loss. And they were looking also at like reducing your risk of heart disease, your cholesterol levels, and your blood sugar. And so the one that won all the gold medals was the high protein diet. So the high protein diet is the most effective diet for weight loss, but also longevity, making sure that your cholesterol levels are low, and also protecting you from heart disease. And we need to say this because this is, and I don't think a lot of people know, a lot of the studies that are done on men and menopausal women, the studies are not done on bleeding women, women that bleed every month and have a menstrual cycle, because it's not allowed to do studies on women that are in the years of fertility. We're not allowed to study them. And so a lot of these studies, why? Because if something were to go wrong and these women were pregnant and it could affect their offspring, then, you know, it's dangerous. So they stopped doing studies on women. Any kind of studies, whether it's pharmaceutical studies or scientific studies, they're not done on women that are in their fertile years, women that have a period. And so a lot of the studies outputs, like the one on intermittent fasting, is just not relevant for women, and especially not women who are in their 40s. And the reason for that is when you fast for very long, like let's put the base. The base is, I agree that everybody should be fasting 12 hours. That's called an overnight fast. Everybody should be doing 12 hours overnight fast. 99% people don't have an issue with that. Past 12 hours, we're starting to get into a place that for some people, especially women, this could put the body under more stress. So this is called a hermetic stress, and this puts the body under stress. And these women are already stressed out, right? They're not sleeping well enough. Some of them have thyroid issues. Some of them are losing their hormones. Some of them have high stresses at home, emotional, spiritual, personal stresses. You put on that extra stress now of fasting for 16 hours, your body is shooting out a lot of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. What does cortisol do? Two things. Number one, it raises your blood sugar levels. Even if you haven't eaten, cortisol immediately raises your blood sugar level. After that, it stops your metabolism, stops your digestive tract from working properly. And so it's counterintuitive, but if you fast, yeah, it's true, you're not eating calories, but you're stressing out your body. You're having a blood glucose spike. Your metabolism is slowing down and your body needs nutrients. So what is it doing? It's going to the muscle mass, that really important muscle mass that we work so hard to build, and it's breaking down the muscle.
No.
Exactly. It's starting to break down the muscles to get these amino acids, these really important amino acids that are like the base of neurotransmitters. And I see this on women that eat very little. You know, we all know those women that eat very, very little. They're super, super skinny. They don't have any muscle on them to save their lives. And the minute they menopause, they're at major risk because they are what called are skinny fat women. They're skinny from the outside. Mm-hmm. They're fat. They don't have muscle mass. There's nothing protecting their bones either. So again, it's a mind shift. Skinny isn't pretty. Strong and muscly, super pretty. That's what we need to start convincing ourselves, our daughters, any woman that you see in the street. We should be complimenting a woman, not about, oh, you look good, you've lost weight. Or we should be saying, you look super strong. Have you been working out? You know, that's the mind shift.
Let me show you. Look at this.
Love it.
It says strong is the new pretty.
Love it.
Yes, I love that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. You know, just being mindful of our time, we'd like to ask you two simple ways moms can simplify their weight loss efforts today. What do you think?
Yeah, two out of 10 hacks. Okay. I'm going to give you my two top hacks. Hack number one is protein. Protein is your superfood. If you do anything, focus on getting protein. You should be getting anywhere from 30 to 40 grams of protein per meal. That's quite a lot.
Okay.
Google it. It's pretty
easy. That's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot. You should be eating a lot of protein. Mm-hmm. That should be the majority of what you're eating. I'm not saying.
And when you say protein, does that mean plant protein or animal protein, or does it not matter?
If you Google how much protein is in 100 grams, you'll get a nice infographic. There's a few people that have done really cool infographics. And you will see that you can get protein from animal sources. You can get protein from plant sources. Unfortunately, plant sources have way less protein. So you got to eat a lot more of that. And, you know, but I am not against any of the, you know, you still can be a vegetarian and get protein. You might need to supplement yourself with some protein powders, you know, or figure out a way to get in that protein, but you have to work harder at it. It's much easier if you're eating animal. But that being said, you don't need to just eat animal. You can combine the two, which is great as well. Has its benefit.
Yeah.
So protein, protein, protein. That should be your focus. Every single meal should have protein and a large amount. Okay. That's going to keep you satiated. You're not going to feel hungry. You're not going to have cravings. You're going to put on that muscle mass and you're going to lose weight just from that. The second hack is divide your plate into half and every meal devote half of that plate to the vegetables. Okay. Vegetables, you should stop counting calories. You should only count the colors of the vegetables that you eat. Vegetables are important because they've got vitamins, minerals, and fiber, and they are really important for you, for your skin, for your health. And so I feel like if you really focus on getting in that protein and you add those veggies to your plate, it doesn't mean that you need to cut out carbohydrates. You're not going to have a lot of place in your stomach for that many carbohydrates. They become like the sideline. Mm-hmm. And when you just shift your plate like that, just think about those two things every time you eat. Weight loss is coming your way. Not only weight loss, energy, more stamina, less brain fog, just more vitality.
I have one other question with what about fat? Like I know that healthy fat we're supposed to be having, but like, could you be getting too much of it?
I love that. Too much of a good thing, I call it. So yeah, and that's where the keto diet doesn't do well for women, in my opinion. I mean, the keto diet is fantastic for people who have type 2 diabetes, for example, or, you know, insulin resistance, because it's great. It really does help you balance your blood sugar levels. However, and that fat really, it satiates you. But if you're, you know, gulping down tablespoons of peanut butter and almond butter and avocados, they are high. They're dense in caloric, you know, in calories. And that's not going to help you if you're trying to lose weight. And that's why really, and I agree with the study, a high protein diet, you know, with a lot of vegetables is going to be what's going to satiate you the most and get you that weight loss. And don't forget that a lot of the proteins that we eat, like eggs, for example, or beef, or even chicken, they have fat inside them already. And if you're cooking like lentils or beans, you're using some sort of olive oil for it. You're getting your fat in. You don't need to go eating that fat unless you're trying to gain fat, which some people need to. Okay. But I tell people like be stingy with your fats. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't have them, but you shouldn't be swallowing tablespoons of anything, like no peanut butter tablespoons.
Very helpful. These are great tips. That's a very, I love your plate visual because that's easy to do. Absolutely. You know, we can imagine our plate with half full of vegetables. I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are great hacks. Thank you.
Yeah. So Corinne is generously offering our listeners 10% off her weight loss program, 21 Days to a New You. And we're going to have a link to that in the show notes. Do you want to just share a little bit about what that entails?
Yeah, it's probably my favorite program that I have. I have a lot of online programs because a lot of my clients are all over the world, but it's usually a group of ladies. I cap it at 20 women from all over the world. Really, you're going to meet people from anywhere in Asia and the US and Australia and Europe. It's fantastic. And basically, every day I drop a nugget of information that's related to weight loss. I call it like a pillar of weight loss to educate you. We have a support group, which is very active usually, and 4 Zoom calls, and each Zoom call is jam-packed with a lot of information. It's a 3-week kind of menu plan with recipes and shopping lists and everything. And there's vegan options, non-vegetarian options, and carnivore options. There's lots of different options in there for different people. But the best part of it really is that it's a very holistic plan. It really is. It's a plan made by someone in her 40s for other women in their 40s. I'm a working mom. I understand people's lifestyles. I feel like I've lived in many places in the world. I can really relate to women go through, and it's a doable format. And you might ask why 21 days. It takes 21 days for your brain to register a new habit. And so the idea is that we choose a few different habits for each, for ourselves, and we try and make it a habit so that at the end of the 21 days, you've got a couple of new habits in your life that are making you better.
I love that. And I love support. Communities are so great when you're trying to lose weight.
100%.
Yeah. Do anything, really.
Do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You can connect with Corinne on Instagram at Corinne Goji Berry. At Corinne Goji Berry on Instagram.
We'll link that. Yeah. In the show notes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was an very, very cool episode. Very exciting.
I learned so much. Yeah, yeah. I really loved it.
Thank you. It was fabulous being with you. And I wish all your listeners and you a wonderful day ahead from me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes.
We would love to hear from our mom community. Any wellness topics that are high on your list, please DM us at Functional Medicine Coaching Moms. We can also be reached via email at info@functionalmedicinecoachingmoms.com. You can find Functional Medicine Coaching Moms podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.